am here to share with you a very special interview with Skip Taylor, the single permanent longtime manager of Canned Heat, which is coming to the Bayfront Blues Fest in Duluth on August 12th. Skip, thank you so much for being with me this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And this is pretty unusual to be able to talk to somebody who has been managing a band for as long as you have. This is a band that played at Woodstock. Tell us a little bit about the history, which sounds like you've been there from the beginning.
Yeah, I have been, and I've been to Duluth in 95 and 2014 with the band as well. They played
nice.
Bayfront then as well. But I started the rock department at the William Morris Agency in Beverly Hills. And after a couple of years there of signing various acts, including the Rolling Stones and Simon and Garfunkel and Sonny and Cher, and starting with all of them,
yeah.
And went to the UCLA concert one time, and there were two bands that were playing there that had members at UCLA, and they were called The Doors and Canned Heat. Playing a fraternity party. And I loved both bands, and they were both strange because at the time The Doors and Jim Morrison was only reciting poetry to the music, not singing.
Uh-huh.
And Canned Heat was the scruffiest bunch of guys I'd ever seen playing the blues, and I was not familiar with the blues, really. I was a rock guy. And had both of them in my office the next day and signed both of them for representation and made their record deals. And eventually, when I left William Morris, wound up managing Canned Heat.
Huh. And here you are today. How many years
here
later?
Here I am today.
Yeah. Wow. And so you've seen the music world go through many eras and bands come and go. You know, what has been the magic mix for Canned Heat to stay strong for so many years?
The blues, and that being an American music that started here as opposed to anywhere else, and in the South, and grown from Canned Heat, really, and a couple of other, Paul Butterfield, John Mayall in England. And that music has continued to permeate the music scene and people's minds. And it's very simplistic and yet has certain beats and rhythms and can tell a simple story or a simple message without many words. And it's infectious and it's something people just enjoy.
Yeah, clearly. And there's also got to be a piece of, I mean, a lot of bands break up, you know, they just, people have different phases of life, they, maybe there's personality issues, but this band just sticks together forever. I mean, you know, the Beatles were amazing, but they sure didn't last this long either. And you know the band members personally, you travel with them, you do everything but sing in the band, it sounds like.
That's about it. I've produced all the records, all the hits. We've had 3 number one songs, On the Road Again, Going Up the Country. Both of those have been in many commercials and movies. And right out of Minnesota there, we have Let's Work Together, which was a big Target commercial for years. And Let's Work Together was actually the biggest hit that Canned Heat had. It was number one in 31 countries and was never number one in the U.S. But it was a song that just pulled everybody together. It's been used by different political figures up in Canada and in Northern Ireland as a theme for their campaigns. And it still has a lyric. You know, let's work together. Together we stand, divided we fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together. And it still is a
very relevant message, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to try to find that and play it before the top of the hour if I can. That would be really absolutely apropos to find that one.
And the other thing that, you know, when we started in the late 60s, festivals were just starting. The Monterey Pop Festival was in California, really the first big festival, and we played that without even having a record deal because I had a relationship with Lou Adler, who managed the Mamas and Papas and Johnny Rivers, and he was the one that really started that festival. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if our band could play and that we were going to soon be having a recording deal, and that we're right there in L.A. with him. And he said, yeah. So we got to play that. And that was the first time that people got to see Alan Wilson. Alan Wilson and Bob Height were really the people who formed Canheat and started Canheat. And Alan Wilson from that festival was called the greatest harmonica player ever in America. And the band got on the cover of Downbeat magazine, which was the big jazz magazine at that time.
Wow.
But that was also the first time people saw Jimi Hendrix or saw The Who, and yet Otis Redding put them all to shame. So,
wow. Well, having been someone who's been really in the music scene for half a century, what can you say about what has changed, what has stayed the same? I know that I'm sure the digital world has changed some things, but maybe not others.
Well, you know, in the past 6 months, 92% of the music industry income has come from streaming on iTunes or YouTube or all the other services that are out there. There are no more, basically, CDs. Certainly, we know there are no more cassettes. There are vinyls again. Some record companies and some artists do put out 5,000 vinyls for the audio aficionados who have decent equipment and still want to play a vinyl. But streaming is the whole thing, and it's a different kind of music. For me, in my assessment of the music industry, the musicians themselves are not nearly as proficient as they were in the 60s and 70s. Hmm. I still am, my opinion is that that's where the best music has ever come from, because the musicians of that period were the freest, were the most accomplished musicians, whether it be from garage bands or the combination of history of other musicians and their own education and playing live so much.
Yeah.
I mean, they were playing every night.
Right.
And so go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to affirm that. I mean, I just think, yeah, I mean, back then there was no substitute to just playing. And I'm sure that created a level of mastery that, I mean, that's very interesting to hear you say that. It makes you reflect on just, yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the modern world. Yeah.
And in front of thousands of people.
Right.
And festivals every weekend. I mean, we went from the Atlantic City Pop Festival to Woodstock to Atlanta Pop Festival to Florida to Miami Pop Festival to Dallas. I mean, they're just one after another every weekend.
Yeah.
With 100,000+ people at each one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you had to hone your music skills and your performance skills and your ability to maybe speak a few words that meant something to an audience. Hmm. And sound systems improved and lighting and stages, and audiences were really there just for the music.
Right.
Whereas a festival today, there's everything else under the sun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
at a
yeah.
festival.
Right. There's all kinds of different things to attract you to go, and it used to just be the pure music. That's
what it was.
There was nothing comfortable about it.
No, it was not comfortable to get there
right.
or to play there or whatever.
Right. There wasn't necessarily bottled water for you.
And again, transportation, because of the whole air scene right now,
right.
It's terrible. It's terrible. You know, I mean, flights being canceled and
right.
and going through the pandemic. And you don't know from one day when you book a festival or a concert, are we actually going to play it or not? Is it going to happen? I mean, there's a lot of questions today, you know, that we're playing next week outside of Halifax, Nova Scotia for the Far Out Festival.
Hmm.
And it's on a blueberry farm, you know. And we just had Air Canada this week cancel all our flights.
Oh.
And they don't have enough pilots, or they don't have
right.
enough staff
or crew.
There
is a lot of instability, and you're feeling it.
And Europe, there are groups going to Europe to play, and there's the pandemic is happening, and a war.
Right.
And they're still playing festivals.
Right, right. Well, yeah. All that said, Skip, what would you say is the state of Canned Heat today? I mean, it's obviously different singers than it was originally. Yeah,
well,
how are
biggest,
they doing?
This year has been another amazing kind of transformation for Canned Heat, because the drummer, Fito De La Parra, has been there 54 years, and I originally put him, I had known about him, and he had played with Etta James and R&B groups and was from Mexico, was a total pop star in Mexico when he was 14 years old in two bands. Two number one bands there. And we've been together now for coming up on 60 years. And he's still there. And our bass player, original bass player Larry Taylor, passed away before the pandemic. And he had recommended a guy to fill his shoes named Rick Reed. And Rick Reed has played with Paul Butterfield and Bonnie Raitt and Charlie Musselwhite and all kinds of people, and is a fabulous bass player and human being.
Hmm.
And Dale Spaulding has been with the band now 15 years, and he plays harmonica, guitar, and basically sings almost all the songs. And the thing that has changed again for us this past year is a guy named Jimmy Vivino, who was the musical director on the Conan O'Brien TV show for 26 years. And he's one of the greatest guitar players I've ever seen and that the world has ever seen. And he's basically worldwide not known because he's been doing TV with Conan O'Brien all for the past quarter century. And he has now become a member of Canned Heat, and he says, we don't know it, but he's been a member since he was 13, meaning that it's his favorite band growing up, and he knows all the songs. And with his coming into the band, it's added an energy and an excitement, and for the public, just someone who knows the history of Canned Heat as well and has been just an amazing addition to the band. So,
wow. Well, thank you for that little rundown of, and this is all available to anyone who goes to the Bayfront Blues Festival on August 12th.
Well, Jimmy
12th.
Will not be at Bayfront.
Okay.
He had a previous engagement with Conan O'Brien. So, John Paulus, JP, who's been with the band on and off for 15 years, will be there, and just played with them this past weekend in Oregon, and it was the whole band is saying that was special too, because he hadn't played with them for a while, is super rehearsed and sings as well and plays great guitar, and he goes all the way back. He played bass with John Mayall years and years ago, and he's a guitar player and bass player, and he has been at Bayfront the last time that they were there in 2014. And Canned Heat played a magical set, as I remember, at Bayfront the last time. It was just the connection with the audience was special, and we're all looking forward to being there again.
Yeah, I hope that happens again, and yeah, that all just sounds really great. We have run out of time, so thank you so much, Skip, and good
You're
luck with your summer, and thanks again
well,
for joining us.
Well, come and visit us, and I'd like to meet you in person.
I would, too. I'm going to see if I can get there, so you take care.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. That was Skip Taylor with Canned Heat, the manager for Canned Heat. What a special interview that was.